paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today or maybe you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter by going to twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. We'll sometimes do an eye quiz to test your IQ. I'll have a lot of fun today. Now remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now we're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice, but since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, if you were listening last week, you heard Dr. Stephen Reed doing the program, and Dr. Reed is my partner at Hawaiian Eye Center, and we're working together there at the Wahiawa office, and he also visits the office in Hilo on the Big Island, and Dr. Reed, I thought, did an excellent job of bringing some new information and different voice, as it were, to the Hawaiian Eye Show, and I enjoyed listening to him, and we got some positive feedback from the listeners as well. So Dr. Reed was here because I was away. I was at the annual meeting of the American Academy of Ophthalmology. This is the largest meeting of ophthalmologists, or eye surgeons, eye physicians and surgeons, across the country. And this year the meeting was in Chicago, and we were got the opportunity to look at all kinds of interesting possible future treatments, you know, try to get a sense of what the future looks like in the field, the near future anyway, because a lot of companies are showing us what their new technology is, what kinds of things are likely to be up and coming, what kinds of things we're going to be looking at becoming more widespread as time goes on. One of the things that a lot of people were talking about was cataract surgery using a laser assist, so laser-assisted cataract surgery. Now, this is something that is not paid for by insurance and most likely never will be paid for by insurance because the advantages that you get with the laser-assisted cataract surgery are only relatively small ones over the standard cataract surgery. And so I don't think that Medicare will ever, or any of the other insurance companies will ever say this is a worthwhile thing that we can invest in because it makes a huge difference in people's outcomes in this type of surgery. And in fact, in the hands of an experienced surgeon, it probably makes very little difference in the outcome. In the hands of a newer or less experienced surgeon, it may be something that can provide some benefit. And the reason the laser-assisted cataract surgery has become a big tool, a big item in the field is because it's got a great deal of marketing potential, among other things. You know, you can say, gee, you know, I had my cataract surgery done with laser. Well, half the people think that laser is used to take care of cataracts anyway, but in fact, laser in the most common and state-of-the-art form of cataract removal currently, laser is not used. Laser can be used to assist in the performance of certain elements of the cataract surgical procedure. The procedure is essentially the same, but the laser is being used to do certain portions of the technique versus a actual actual blade, for example. A laser is used to create an opening or an incision in the eye. This has probably relatively few advantages other than the fact that it can be very reproducible, very consistent. And so you can predict a little bit more how it's going to affect the shape of the eye. In the hands of an experienced surgeon, this is probably not a big deal. The laser can also be done in used in certain cataracts to pre-soften the cataract itself. So when you go in to remove the cataract, it's a little bit easier, requires less energy. This is only really necessary if the cataract is relatively dense, because a lot of cataracts are able to be vacuumed out anyway with very little energy into the eye to break up the cataract if the cataract is relatively soft. Some cataracts are soft, some are hard. Partially has to do with how long the cataract's been there, how old the patient is. The older the patient, the longer the cataract's been there, the harder or denser the cataract tends to be, and that can be a little bit more difficult surgery-wise, and in these types of cases, the laser can be helpful in softening up the cataract prior to removing it. So certain types of incisions the laser can make instead of making them manually, and certain softening of the cataract the laser can do for this. Generally, there is a significant additional cost which is not covered by insurance. The biggest advantage, as I see it, of the laser is being able to correct astigmatism, that's irregular curvature on the surface of the eye. There are several ways that we correct astigmatism at the time of cataract surgery, all of which are considered premium procedures, meaning that they're not covered by insurance and they are additional work at the time of cataract surgery. We, in our office, in our surgery center, are correcting astigmatism using an advanced lens implant that is designed to correct astigmatism, and we've been very successful in reducing people's need for eyeglasses for distance vision. People often still need glasses for reading vision, but for distance, if their astigmatism is corrected with the lens implant, generally they see quite well without glasses. So this laser-assisted cataract surgery may be able to allow us to use the multifocal lens, the lens that focuses light both for distance and near, in a little greater percentage of patients, because it helps to correct astigmatism a little bit more reliably at the time of the procedure, but still the amount of astigmatism that can be corrected is relatively limited, and above a certain amount, you want one of these astigmatism correcting lens implants. So for a relatively small subset of patients, there may be some advantage to the laser-assisted cataract surgery, but since the cost is considerable, it's not covered by insurance, and the advantages in the vast majority of people are relatively small, I don't generally recommend it for my patients. So it is something, though, that more people are talking about. A lot of the public is kind of enthusiastic about this idea of lasers. It's something about a laser that just piques people's interest and their attitude. And even though using the laser, we're doing essentially the same technique as we are without the laser, there's something about the procedure with a laser that has a certain appeal. And so this is something that's becoming more popular across the country. I think that it's going to be a long time before most ophthalmologists adopt the technology here in Honolulu. There are only a few people who have access to this type of laser technology, but since it really doesn't provide a huge impact on the quality and the healing and the quality of vision after surgery, it's probably not something that's going to be adopted very quickly throughout the state. So we'll have to see what happens with that. So that's one thing that they were talking about at the American Academy of Ophthalmology meeting. Other things that I spent some time looking at were issues related to glaucoma. Glaucoma is pressure in the eye that leads to damage to the optic nerve, has no symptoms in its earliest and most common stages, most common forms. Has no signs or symptoms, so that people don't realize they have glaucoma unless it's been diagnosed by an eye specialist. And we're developing new ways both to diagnose and to treat glaucoma, ways of looking at the optic nerve, the nerve in the eye that is damaged by glaucoma, and trying to assess in the early stages whether there's damage to that nerve. And so there are various imaging and diagnostic tests and techniques that are being developed in order to help us image or to diagnose glaucoma by imaging the optic nerve and determining whether there's damage to the optic nerve. And this is technology that we've already embraced in our office and use regularly on patients, not only with glaucoma, but with other types of problems where we need to get a good detailed look at the structures inside the back of the eye. The other thing that is really shows some fascinating improvements or some fascinating changes over time is treatment of a condition that we refer to as dry eye disease. I want to talk a little bit more about dry eye disease, and we'll do that as soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong, was I unwise?
All right, welcome back. Here we are in the next segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. We do have phone lines open here if you want to give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, we do have a toll-free number. It's 1-888-565-8383. We're happy to try to answer your questions and see what's up in your mind when it comes to the eyes. I wanted to talk a little bit about a condition known as dry eye disease. You know, we used to refer to it as dry eye syndrome or dry eyes or tell people your eyes are dry. But it turns out that it's a lot more complex than that. There's a whole disease entity known that we broadly refer to as dry eye disease, where there's actually pathology going on that causes people's eyes to develop problems related to dryness of the ocular surface, instability of the tear film, the moisture layer that coats the surface of the eye, or actually pathology in the tear film and the parts of the eye and the eyelids that produce the tear film. And so what you need to understand this process is that in order to keep your eye healthy, in order for your eye to be healthy, to see well, to be comfortable, you have to have a thin layer of moisture that coats the surface of the eye. That layer of moisture needs to remain a certain thickness. It needs to stay on the surface of the eye, and it needs to be moved over the surface of the eye when you blink or close your eyes. It moves the tear film over the surface of the eye. So there's a normal process where tears are produced through the process of blinking. They're spread over the surface of the eye, and then they drain out of the eye through a drain on the inside corner of the eyelids. And so when this process is working well, the eyes are comfortable, you see well, and everything is fine. But there are several parts along the process where this process can go, where this the system can go wrong. And so what we've learned over time is that there are two or three different entities that make up this whole concept of dry eye disease. First of all, what do patients feel? What do patients experience? Well, there are many symptoms that dry eye disease can cause. It can cause burning of the eyes, it can cause redness, it can cause irritation, it can cause scratchy feeling. It can cause sensitivity to light, it can cause sensitivity to wind or sun. It can cause a blurring of the vision, especially intermittent blurring of the vision. Some people find that when they read for a while, the vision gets blurry. It can cause a tired sensation in the eyes. It can cause the eyes to feel dry or irritated when you wake up in the morning. It can cause the eyes to feel dry and irritated and hard to keep open in the evening. It can make you feel, your eyes feel tired or heavy, or can make it hard to blink or hard to open your eyes in the morning when you get up. All of these things are manifestations of dry eye disease, and so there are quite a few of them, and mostly they have to do with uncomfortable feeling in the eyes. And some people are significantly uncomfortable. They actually feel the eyes are uncomfortable, the eyes are blurry, they're having difficulty doing tasks that they need to do because their vision is fluctuating a little bit. And so there are several places in which the dry eye disease manifests itself and causes trouble in the eyes. There's what we call aqueous deficiency dry eye, which means that you don't make enough tears. And if you don't make enough watery tears, it doesn't coat the eyes that well, and it causes some of these symptoms. The more common thing, though, is a problem called meibomian gland dysfunction, also known as MGD, meibomian gland dysfunction. And the meibomian glands are little oil glands that are right along the base of the eyelids. And if you look really closely at someone's lower eyelid, you'll see a bunch of little spots right along the edge of the eyelid closest to the eye itself. If you pull the eyelid out a little bit and look at it, look at the lower lid, it's also on the upper lid, you'll see a bunch of little spots, almost looks like little pukas, little holes on the eyelid. And these are the openings of meibomian glands. These meibomian glands make an oil-like material which coats the surface of the eye and helps to keep the tear film stabilized, prevents it from evaporating or drying quickly. People who have meibomian gland dysfunction tend to have what we call evaporative dry eye disease. Evaporative means that the tears are evaporating too quickly from the surface of the eye, so the surface of the eye becomes dry, and this causes problems with the eye and with the vision, with the clarity of the vision. Typical symptoms of evaporative dry eye are burning and irritation when you're in the wind or in the air conditioning. It can lead to blurring after you read or use the computer for a while. It can lead to a irritation, scratchy feeling, soreness, and dry sensation on the surface of the eyes. And these are all because the moisture layer or the tear film is evaporating too quickly from the surface of the eye, because these meibomian glands, these oil glands, are not secreting the right oil or the right amount of oil or the right quality of oil onto the surface of the eye to maintain the tear film and keeping it from evaporating too quickly. So these people who have evaporative dry eye range with their symptoms from no symptoms at all to very severe discomfort, irritation, blurring, difficulty accomplishing the tasks they need to do because of the difficulty with their vision and the fluctuations in the vision due to this oil gland dysfunction. Now, what causes this? You know, this is virtually an epidemic. We see a whole lot of this now. We see a lot of people coming in with complaints referable to evaporative dry eye disease. And what causes this? Why are we seeing so much of this now when we didn't see it before? Well, there are a number of theories about this. It actually turns out that part one of the theories has to do with diet. We don't get as much essential fatty acids in our diet as we used to. Our diets have become very poor in what's called the omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty acids are an essential part of our diet. They are a part of what makes up all of the oils within our body that we need to have this in order to help synthesize some of the oils in our body. We used to have oils in our body which do a lot of different things, but among them are maintaining the quality of our skin and the moistness of our skin, the moistness in our eyes, and other places where oils are needed in our body in order for us to maintain good health. If the oils are deficient or not adequate because our diet is too poor in these omega-3 fatty acids, then this can make a big difference in the function, particularly in the eyes and somewhat in the skin as well. So if you think about how our diet has changed, what is it that's different about our diet that gives us fewer omega-3 fatty acids, you have to look at where these things are found in our diet. So they're found in fish, in many types of fish, particularly oily fish like salmon and mackerel and tuna. Not tuna packed in oil, but tuna itself contains oil. So tuna is a reasonably good source of omega-3 fatty acids. Nuts contain a lot of omega-3 fatty acids. And, you know, our diet several hundred years ago contained more nuts and berries and fruits. And vegetables, certain vegetables contain some omega-3 fatty acids. I believe kale and spinach has some, and there are several other vegetables that I have to look up to tell you exactly, but that contain the omega-3 fatty acids. So why don't we see as much of this in our diet? Well, most of the greens that we do eat, lettuce and so forth, tomatoes, other things that we eat commonly as part of our salads, don't contain the omega-3s. We don't eat as many nuts as we used to. And the meat that we eat, fish contains omega-3s. Why? Because most fish grows in the wild, and fish eat plants. The omega-3s originate in plants, and then they're concentrated in the tissues of animals. And so the fish eat the plant life, and then they concentrate the omega-3s in their bodies. And animals, land animals, used to do the same thing. Animals eating grass, for example, are a fairly rich source of omega-3 fatty acids. And so if you have grass-fed beef, this will probably provide you with some good omega-3 fatty acid supply. But most of the beef that we eat in this country is not grass-fed, it's grain-fed. They eat corn, they eat wheat, and other grains, and these grains are not rich in the omega-3 fatty acids, so they don't concentrate those fatty acids in the flesh of the animals. And so when we eat the meat from cattle, we're not getting a source of omega-3s there because of their diet. So their diet changes. It means that our diet changes, or at least the nutrients in our diet actually change over time. So this is an interesting factor. So this dietary factor, reduced amount of omega-3 fatty acids in our diet, may be a contributing factor to this growing explosion of evaporative dry eye condition. So not only that, but there are a lot of things that we do now in our lives that have changed a little bit the physiology of the surface of the eye. One thing, for example, is the use of a computer. So even reading can do this, but when you use a computer, when you read, you don't blink your eyes as often. When you do blink your eyes, you tend to do a more incomplete blink. If you don't do a complete blink, if the eyelid doesn't come all the way down and touch the lower lid, if the upper eyelid doesn't come down and touch the lower eyelid, you don't get the benefit of the eyelid spreading the oil over the surface of the eye anywhere near as significantly as it does when it comes all the way down to the lower lid. In fact, it's the tapping of the upper lid on the lower lid that helps to release some of the oil from the glands. And if the upper lid is not contacting the lower lid consistently, then the glands start to atrophy. They start to dry up because there's nothing causing them to express their oil anymore. And so the oil just kind of stays in there and it becomes static. It becomes thicker and doesn't work its way out, and these glands become clogged. When the glands become clogged, it can cause pathology like styes. A lot of people get styes in their eyes due to these clogged meibomian glands. But it can also cause just a lack of oil in the surface of the tear film, which leads to discomfort, irritation, and evaporative dry eye symptoms. And so if you have an incomplete blink, or if you're blinking less frequently because of frequent use of electronic devices, that you're staring at the screen and you're not blinking as often, and when you do blink, you're not making a complete blink, this as well leads to meibomian gland disease, meibomian gland dysfunction, and evaporative dry eye syndrome, dry eye disease. And so all of these things in our diet, in our modern way of life, are contributing to basically what's becoming an epidemic of dry eye disease. Okay, so this is something that's very important. I think that this is one of the things that we as ophthalmologists are going to be spending a lot of our time dealing with in coming years. You know, we take care of people who have medical conditions like cataracts and glaucoma, retinal problems, diabetic eye disease, and those things are going to continue to be an important part of what we do. But we're going to find that increasingly we're having to take care of people who have this dry eye disease. And in fact, I saw some very startling information from some of my colleagues who are looking at young children and finding that even in children as young as 10 or 12 or 14 years old, there's significant meibomian gland dysfunction and evaporative dry eye disease because of the fact that these kids are spending so much time on their computers and staring at their handheld devices, their phones, their video games, and all of these things which contribute to the poor blink and the poor spreading of oil over the surface of the eye. So we're going to get into what we can do about this dry eye condition, how we can treat it, how we can get people's tear or oil glands working a little bit better as soon as we get back from a short break where we're going to listen to the news. Be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 72 degrees with a few clouds in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton-Dennis. Here's what's happening. Inspectors are working to determine how many buildings have been left uninhabitable by a natural gas explosion in Springfield, Massachusetts. Police say at least three buildings were irreparably damaged and residents were evacuated from a six-story apartment building that was buckling. The state fire marshal says it's a miracle no one was killed in the blast last night that leveled their strip club and blew out windows in a three-block radius. Some residents of a New York City neighborhood that suffered fire and flooding during Superstorm Sandy say their damaged houses have now been looted. The New York Post says thieves struck at least three homes in the Breezy Point section of Queens Wednesday or Thursday when many residents were away for Thanksgiving. One couple lost a $25,000 coin collection along with jewelry and watches. The State Department of Education will investigate what caused a 40-foot section of a roof in an auditorium on the Farrington High School campus yesterday to collapse. It happened at about 3:30 p.m., and the one person in the building at the time was able to get out unharmed. A man in his 30s was critically injured in a two-car crash on Moanalua Road yesterday. It happened at about 4:30 p.m. in front of Kaiser Medical Center in Moanalua. The person in the second car refused treatment at the scene. Police shut down Moanalua Road between Ala'aolani and Alakupuna. The State Department of Land and Natural Resources says the season for ama-ama or striped mullet will be closed from December 1st through March 31st. DLNR Director William Isla says the annual winter closure is to help the fish reproduce successfully and protect the species from overfishing. Island weather today, mostly sunny, then scattered showers after 1 p.m. The high will peak near 80 tonight, mostly cloudy, low around 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny, currently 72.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian Eyes, can you see me now? From paradise.
We're back. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora here on KHVH Radio. If you're listening Saturday morning, you're listening to, most likely listening to a live program. So you can go ahead and give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call to reach us here on in the studio. And 521-8383. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number. It's 888-565-8383. We'd like to hear about your experiences. Find out what kinds of questions you have about the eyes. If you want to find out more about some of the things we've been talking about, the evaporative dry eye disease, the laser cataract, and other things, you can go to Twitter, twitter.com. Follow me on Twitter, Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, and we'll post some of the information about some of the links to some interesting sources of information about some of the things that we've been talking about. We'll also be on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com and looking at Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook, you can like us on Facebook and have access to other information and even some specials at Hawaiian Eye Center. So check us out, Facebook, Twitter, and everywhere online, even Pinterest now. We have some information there. So if you're a Pinterest fan, you can check us out there, Hawaiian Eye Center, I believe. All right, so we're talking a little bit about the dry eye, evaporative dry eye disease caused by defects or damage to the meibomian glands over time. We're talking about the causes being people using their eyes differently now, our diet changing over time. So the question is, what can we do about this evaporative dry eye disease? What if you're having trouble reading? You read for 5 or 10, 15 minutes, and then you find your vision gets blurry and you can't see. You have to rest your eyes or put in some moisture drops in your eyes to restore the tear film. What if your eyes, after you're using them, looking at the computer for an hour or two, you find your eyes are starting to burn and be sore and irritated? What can you do? What if you're finding that in the evenings, at the end of the day, you're eyes are so tired, so heavy and dry that you can barely keep them open. You're using a bunch of different teardrops in the eyes and they're still not having the success of making your eyes more comfortable. What can you do? Well, the first thing you need to do is be evaluated by someone who is experienced in evaluating the dry eye disease. And of course, at Hawaiian Eye Center, we've been dealing with patients with this type of problem for a long time. It's just that things are evolving now, and we're able to offer them a few additional things. We know some things that help a little bit. Unfortunately, there's no miracle cure. There's nothing that's going to make you better overnight if you have a severe form of dry eye disease. What we need to do, though, is we need to evaluate whether that's an evaporative dry eye problem or whether it's an aqueous deficiency dry eye problem. And since the majority of people, probably about 80-85%, have an evaporative dry eye problem related to the meibomian gland dysfunction or meibomian gland disease, most of our treatment is aimed at trying to get those meibomian glands to work a little bit better. So we'll often recommend that people take omega-3 fatty acids supplements. You can take flaxseed oil or fish oil. You may want to check with your doctor first to make sure that there's not a reason why you shouldn't be doing that, because sometimes some of these supplements over the counter do interfere with other medications or other types of medical conditions. So you do want to check with your doctor before using any kind of supplement or vitamin on a consistent basis. And so we do recommend this for some of our patients. The other thing you can do is if it's determined that your blinking is deficient, that you have a poor blink, there's some exercises that we can give you to help you work on your blink to try to spread the moisture that you do have on your eyes over the surface of the eye a little bit better. And so doing blinking exercises can be helpful. Don't ask me to describe those over the phone. It's something I kind of have to show you. But anyway, it's a way of trying to enhance the tear film a little bit. The other thing that we can recommend is a series of treatments with heat and massage to try to open up these meibomian glands. Unfortunately, these treatments need to go on for months and months and probably long term to keep the problem from coming back. It usually involves applying heat to the eyelids and then putting a little pressure or massage on the edge of the eyelids to milk some of the meibomian gland secretions or the oil gland secretions out of the eyelid in order to get it to coat the surface of the eye better, to get those glands working better. Most of us have about 25 or 30 of these glands on our upper lid and the similar number on the lower lid. And in many people, when we look at them closely, we realize that a number of them are not working anymore because they've been atrophying or they've been going downhill over time and aren't producing the oil that they should. So we want to try to get the ones that are blocked open. Ones that are completely dead, we usually can't do much about. And so people are at a disadvantage to begin with because they have fewer of these glands that are working. But ones that aren't working well, or if the secretions are somewhat thicker or oily or not properly oily. They have a sort of a toxic component to them. This can irritate the eyes even more. And if we evaluate the little bit of oil coming out of these glands when you blink or when we press a little bit on the eyelid, we can determine at what stage your condition is at and then recommend the appropriate treatment. So it's usually going to be a combination of cleaning your eyelids, hot compresses, using the omega-3 fatty acids, sometimes doing blinking exercises. And then the other thing that is commonly recommended is the use of some types of medications. So certain eye drops can be helpful in improving the symptoms related to these meibomian gland dysfunction or this evaporative dry eye condition. Certain prescription eye drops can be used, sometimes antibiotics, sometimes prescription pills that you can take orally systemically like doxycycline, a tetracycline derivative that is helpful for conditions like acne. And since acne involves oil glands, it makes sense that a condition like meibomian gland dysfunction might be benefited by similar treatment that helps acne. And so a systemic antibiotic sometimes is helpful in improving the condition. But in many people, all of these things are kind of long-term chronic treatments that go on and on, and people become very frustrated. They become very annoyed. And so the question has come up, what can we do to try to stimulate those oil glands to work a little bit better, to work a little bit more effectively? Can we open them up in a way that's more effective, more quick in terms of the treatment? And in fact, what some researchers have come up with is a new technology which actually provides a machine that's able to heat up the oil in the glands nicely and milk the oil out so that it opens up those glands. And this machine is designed by a company called Tear Science. And the Tear Science people have looked at not only how this machine could work to benefit these people, but also how do we identify people who might really benefit from this type of technology, from this type of treatment. And basically what the technology does is it's a little device that is placed over the eyelids. It looks a little bit funny, but it's not uncomfortable. I actually had it done myself at the meeting that I was at last week. And the treatment basically warms up the eyelids and spends about 2 or 3 minutes warming up the eyelids, and then uses a sort of a gentle pumping or a milking action to milk the secretions out of the eyelids to try to, the heat loosens things up, and then the milking technique or the pumping technique helps to pump the secretions out, basically open up the glands, clean out your pipes, as it were, to get them working again a little bit better. And it really is a great technology. It's something that seems to really work quite well, work quite effectively. So we're going to look at bringing this technology here to Hawaii and see if we can get some of these people who are uncomfortable from this evaporative dry eye condition some relief. And they found that studies that they've done show that 75 to 80% of people who have this treatment done should have a significant improvement in their symptoms. So this is known as a LipiFlow treatment, and it's made by a company called Tear Science. You can check out our Twitter feed for some links to that. And remember, twitter.com/DrTortora, and you'll have some information about some of this technology. So this is something that's very exciting, very relatively new. There's only a few of these machines out there across the country, less than 100 right now. And so if we can make that available to the people here in Hawaii, I think that would be a nice opportunity for some of these people who have been suffering with this condition to get some kind of relief. And it really does seem to work. I've talked to quite a few people who have had the treatment done who have really found that they've seen some significant improvement. And when you look at the numbers that they did for this this treatment for the FDA, for the Food and Drug Administration, to have it approved, they did get some very good numbers in terms of people who showed significant improvements in their symptoms over several weeks following this type of treatment. Now, the effect of the treatment is not indefinite. Once you open up these glands, you need to continue to maintain the proper function of these glands. You need to adopt habits of good blinking. You need to reduce your exposure to staring and wide open eyes. staring at the computer. You need to continue to keep the glands open, to continue to lubricate your eyes to make sure that the tear film remains healthy, that even if it is very effective at improving your symptoms, the symptoms could come back after a while. 6 months, a year, 2 or 3 years, symptoms could return. And so you do want to continue to pay attention to this condition, even if it's been treated with one of these high-tech gadgets, treatments. Unfortunately, this treatment is not yet covered by insurance, and it is fairly expensive to bring the technology in, so not quite sure what the price is going to be on the equipment, on the treatment itself, but you know, like any medical treatment, it's probably always more than you think it should be, but that's kind of how medical treatments work, isn't it? All right, well, let's go ahead and take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about some eye news, and of course, we'll have time to take your call, so go ahead and give us a call so we can take it right after the break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15-20 minutes the most, and you're out.
That's it. We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
A brown-eyed girl.
All right, welcome back. Here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you do have a question, if you have something you want to ask us about, now's the perfect time to call, 521-8383. We've only got about 10 minutes left in the program, and then after that, you have to wait till next week. Of course, you can always email us. We are online. If you go to the Hawaiian Eye Center website, which is hawaiianeye.com, we have a lot of interesting information posted there on the website about all kinds of things, but you can also find archived radio programs if you want to listen to previous radio shows, if you want to subscribe to a podcast so you get to listen to the radio show every week, even if you can't make it on a Saturday morning. That's an option on the HawaiianEye.com website. Go click on the radio show button right there up front. There's a big button that says radio show. Click on that and you should be able to access our radio shows and our podcasts. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. So we've got June standing by in Honolulu. Hi, June. Welcome to the program.
Morning. Hi. I have a question. If you've had cataract surgery in one eye, you know, with a standard lens for distance vision, and it's time to do the other eye, do you need to stick with the same lens, or can you go, like, to the multifocal?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, June. And a lot of different doctors have different opinions about that. My personal opinion is that most people are happiest when both eyes are the same or are seeing the same. These multifocal lenses present your eye and your brain with a slightly different type of image. The contrast sensitivity, which is the contrast between light and dark, is a little bit less, and in exchange for that you get distance vision and near vision. So it depends in part on whether you've been using your eyes together your whole life, in which case you may not like the fact that one eye sees a little bit different than the other, or if your eyes may be, you know, you've done something like monovision in the past where one eye has been for distance and one eye has been for near, so you're used to separating the vision between the two eyes. For people who are very highly motivated to reduce their need for eyeglasses and want to get some reading vision, and if they understand that their vision may not be as clear in the eye with the multifocal lens as it is in the eye with the single focus lens, then it is perhaps an option. But for most people, I do recommend that they stick with the same technology in the one eye that they've had in the previously operated eye.
So it's not a good idea. If you had just started with multifocal, would your vision have been less clear?
It's not noticeably less clear when you have nothing to compare it to. But if you're looking through a monofocal, single focus lens in one eye and you're getting all of the light that's coming from any given object focused on the retina for that one point in space, that one point of focus, then that seems like a clearer, brighter, sharper image than when you compare it to a multifocal lens, in which case you're getting about 70% of the light in distance vision coming to the back of the eye from the distance object, because the other 30% is a near focus. And so your brain adapts to that pretty quickly, especially when it's in both eyes, and you see fine in the distance and you see well up close. But when you have a clear standard lens to compare that to, some people are unhappy because they feel like, gee, you know, I have better vision in this eye, and the other eye, the multifocal eye, doesn't seem quite as good, and even though I can read a little bit with it, it's not as good. So people really need to understand the optics and how it's going to work if they're going to choose that mixed bag. But I think that, you know, for most people, going with a single focus lens but with a slightly different focus, in other words, if you have distance focus in your one eye and we aim for a little bit more near vision in the other eye, with both eyes working together, there's not enough difference between the two eyes that you notice a difference, but there is enough that it gives you a little more depth of focus. So while you may not be able to read everything, tiny print or so forth and so forth, you may be able to, you know, read some moderate sized print with one eye,
like the intermediate area.
Yeah, that type of thing. So that's what we often recommend for people who want to have a little more depth of focus, who don't want to wear their glasses as much. And so then probably only wear them for reading over an extended period of time.
Well, that's what I used to have. I was just using it for reading. And then the weaker the reading lenses were, I could use it for like intermediate in cooking and things like that. But now that I've got the distance thing done, the near is really, I mean, I need 24/7 reading glasses. I mean, and so I've got the trifocals.
Yeah, well, I'd have to kind of look at how your eyes are focused and so forth to give you a definite answer on what might be best for you, because it all is a little bit variable and everyone's a little different. And again, it depends on your motivation. I mean, if you're, yeah, these glasses are a real pain, I really want to get rid of them, I want to do everything I can to get rid of them, and then you see, you know,
the
after
will and
surgery,
the means thing.
Right, so that makes a difference. Because some people say, you know, I don't mind wearing glasses that much, and then they come back after surgery and go, well, you know, even though I don't have to wear glasses,
yeah, I changed my mind.
So, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So that's something that you'd best discuss with your eye surgeon, and make sure it's someone who does have significant experience with both the monofocal and the single focus lens implant.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck with that.
Bye.
So this is something that that does come up periodically with the new technology that we have available to allow people to focus their vision both distance and near following cataract surgery, what we refer to as a multifocal lens implant associated with other techniques that we use to try to reduce the dependence on eyeglasses. Some people who have had cataract surgery in the past and at a time when these types of lenses were not available want to know whether they might be able to take advantage of the technology for their other eye. And there are a number of surgeons across the country who are implanting the two eyes with different lenses on a fairly regular basis and getting pretty good results. So it is possible to do that and to get a decent result. But it is something that the patient does need to understand all of the details about the types of advantages and potentially disadvantages of mixing and matching lenses inside the eyes. So there certainly are a number of options, and every surgeon has a different comfort level with what they've seen in their patients and their experience in terms of what seems to work well for them. And, you know, part of it is technique dependent, I suppose, you know, how your surgery technique is. Part of it is dependent on what your experience has been for the past 10 people that you've done something for. And if they've all done well, then you're more likely to recommend it. You know, it's sad to say that personal experience like that enters into a scientific issue like medicine. But in fact, it does, because every doctor, every surgeon, every specialist has a little different experience, because they have a little different technique that they bring to things, a little bit different background, a little bit different experience, and as a result, they'll make maybe a slightly different recommendation versus someone who has a different experience. And this is probably as it should be in some sense, because there, although national studies suggest general trends in whether one treatment works well or another or not, there are certainly individual variability. There is individual variability among different surgeons. And when you're talking about a surgical technique, there are things that can influence the outcome depending on what type of technique the individual doctor does. This is why it's not a bad idea when you're considering any type of surgery, eye surgery or anything else, to make sure that your doctor does have significant experience at the particular procedure that they're doing, and that they do can in fact tell you what their success rate is, what percentage of people do better, what percentage of people end up worse, and what percentage of people do they have a serious complication. And those types of things are things that you should know as an informed consumer going into getting some kind of a surgical procedure done, particularly when it's an elective procedure, meaning that it's something that you're doing to try to enhance your lifestyle versus just treating a condition that's limiting your ability to function in some way. Of course, the line is becoming blurred now, and as you know, as treatments change, as opportunities to do different things in medicine evolve and develop, there's getting to be a kind of a blurred line between what's a actual treatment of a medical condition and what's actually a lifestyle issue. So, for example, when it's time to treat your cataract, you know, you want to see better because the cataract is blurring your vision. And just removing the cataract and putting in a lens implant is going to help you see better. So that might be considered a basic procedure. But many people say, well, you know, I have this opportunity to see better, but I want to see better without glasses. And so then we offer them the opportunity to have correction that gives them reduced need for eyeglasses. And then that becomes, well, what's elective and what's correcting your problem, because you used to be able to see well without glasses when you were 25 years old, and now you can't anymore because you can't read. So we're just sort of bringing you back to where you were. So is it really, is it curing a problem, an age-related problem, or is it an elective issue? And these are decisions that actually society has to make, because it's going to be impossible. You know, same thing, other fields outside of the eyes, same thing may come up. Treatment of certain types of conditions. Are they conditions that are treating a medical underlying problem, or are they cosmetic or elective? And so society has to make these types of decisions. Well, we've been here now for an hour talking about eyes and eye care. I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Stephen and Rachel for helping out here in the studio, and say thanks to all you listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your letters. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us. And if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, you can always email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com. We can answer those questions over the air. Go to twitter.com and look for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. Follow us on Twitter, all kinds of interesting stuff there. And you can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. The Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. So glad you're listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Totora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Totora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Rush Limbaugh, America's real anchorman, the truth detector to Dr. Democracy.
Every weekday morning at 10, KHBH Honolulu,
Hawaii's home for Fox News.